series called Grace Beyond Karma. Who's excited? Now, the word karma, y'all ever heard that word before? Everyone knows what karma is, right? Ish. That word has been really thrown around, especially amongst, I notice amongst millennials these days. If you encounter with somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus, poor them, you ask them, so what's your deal? Like, you know, what are you about? And they say, oh, bro, I'm about karma, man. I'm all about karma. Like, what? I'm all about karma. Well, you know, you get what you deserve. You put good in, you get good out. So karma is a word that's frequently thrown around. Let's go to the definition. What does the dictionary say about karma? So in Hinduism and Buddhism, it is the sum of a person's actions in this and previous states of existence viewed as deciding their fate in future existences. What the heck did I just read? Some of y'all thought, what the heck? Some of y'all thought worse, but you didn't say it. Thank God for Urban Dictionary. Thank you, Jesus. Urban Dictionary says, the Buddhist / Hindu belief that whatever you do comes back to you. For example, if you do something good will happen to you. If you do something bad will happen to you. That's the dumb translation of what karma is. What a coinkydink. This sounds a little familiar, like a certain passage I might have read in my Bible growing up. Just saying, put Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 on the screen. We're going to try to read through this kaleidoscope. That's why this series is called Grace Beyond Karma. We're going to need all the grace we can get. Let's read. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So in essence, it's saying, hey, God isn't stupid. You're going to reap what you sow. If you put good in, you're going to get good out. That still applies. So karma, call it karma, I call it reaping and sowing. See, I feel like Buddhism, Hinduism, they just stole it from the Bible. I think they just took the Messiah out of the message, which is the word of God, and they made it their own message. So you can do whatever you want. It could be your message now. But I think this is where they got it from. I'm not sure about that. Google says kind of, but don't quote me on that. I'm not a theologian. I'm just a simple guy. I'm a musician. So these religions suggest that if you were deemed quote-unquote good in this life, you would reincarnate into something cool, like a tiger or a lion or like, what are cool animals? Eagle, yes, love eagles. Love eagles. I saw an eagle while I was in Florida like 3 weeks ago. Amazing. A liger, that doesn't exist. So like a shark, a great white shark, something cool, you know, if you were good in this life. Now, if you were bad in this life, karma, you become something like, you know, like stupid, like a mosquito, a flea, a fly, you know, something. All creatures are relevant. God created every single one of them. They serve their purpose. But, you know, who wants to be a fly? You want to be something cool, right? So that's karma. We just heard this song, JT. What goes around comes around. You ever heard that before? How many of you heard another statement? I'm going to give you one more. Okay, I'm going to set this up. So have you ever, not you, of course, because we don't sin, we don't mess up, we're cool, right? But have you ever seen someone do something stupid or say something stupid or put themselves in a dumb situation where you told them, you forewarned them, you said, don't do this, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. Don't do this. Take heed to my word. Don't do this. They, in their rage or jealousy or anger or whatever fleshy emotion they're feeling, they say, screw you. They go ahead and do it. It comes back around because what goes around, can y'all talk with me today? Yeah, here we go. We're alive today. Here we go. So what goes around comes around, right? And it comes back and bites them right in the butt and they suffer for it. They pay the penalty for it. You told them not to do it, but they still did it anyway. And you say that one statement, well, I hope you don't say it, but you ever heard of that statement? Karma's starts with a B, ends with an itch. Karma can be, we need that beeper. A pre-service meeting, we thought we need to get one of those, you know, the DJs have that soundboard where they blurt out cuss words. We don't cuss here, you know, we're cool, we're straight, but we need that beeper. Note to self, get a beeper. Quickly, I have a story I want to share. A couple years ago, I was at one of my nieces or nephews' birthday party, I don't remember. And, you know, we were sitting outside in the backyard. It was summer. It was beautiful out. And there was a bunch of kids playing around. There was like 4, 5, 6 year olds. You know anything about 4, 5, 6 year olds? They get kind of rowdy. Our son is 5, and he's a handful. So they were, you know, goofing around, and they were playing with toys, and they were throwing these things. They were throwing these toys around. I don't know exactly what it was, because it was a couple years ago. I have, like, terrible memory, but they kept throwing it around, and their parents said, hey, don't throw this around. Go over there to the open area and throw it around there. There's people here. You might hurt someone. Well, them in their youth, let's just say, didn't listen. So they kept throwing stuff around, and so one of the times, this particular toy, like I said, I don't know what it was, but it was like something plasticky. It had a hard core. It had a hard center. It hit my friend that was sitting right next to me smack in the head. Okay? He may or may not be here today with us within one of the first 5 rows. But don't reveal yourself, please, whoever you are. And I remember sitting there, he gets so mad because we told the kids, stop throwing it, and they kept doing it. I remember him picking this thing up. I'm like, don't do it. Don't throw it back. Please, don't throw it back. Just don't. And then he's like, that's it. He picks this thing up. I remember putting my eyes on my head. And then a second later, I look up, and this thing is flying through the air, and that time froze. I'm like, this thing's going to hit this kid right in the head. This deal blasts not the kid that was throwing it, but another kid smack in the head. I said, what did I just say? Don't throw it. His mom freaks out, comes running up. Oh, my gosh, honey, what happened? She looks at the husband of this child and says, do something. And his dad is like, oh, okay. He runs up and almost knocks my friend out. It was just a whole scene of commotion. All that could have been avoided because what goes around comes around. Have I beat that dead horse yet long enough this morning? Thank you for grace. But I warned him. Let's talk about grace. What is grace? So the Bible says in Christian belief, I don't think it's just limited to Christian belief, because I believe grace is for everybody, not just Christians. Amen? Grace is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. So let's rip that apart into two portions. So number one, grace is free and unmerited. You know what unmerited means? It doesn't mean you deserved it. It means you did nothing to get it. Grace is favor. So, because, you know, like, we need grace. When you talk about grace, so we're going to do a series on grace. So like, grace? Really? Like, I know everything about grace, bro. You know, think of grace as favor. Who needs favor here? How many of you had a moment of favor in your life where you thought there is no way in H-E bleep bleep that you could have got through your situation, you could have got through your struggle, but somehow God came through and you made it on the other side? That wasn't karma. That was grace. Karma would have punished you for it. Grace delivered you from it. That's the difference. So that was part one. Part two is it's manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. See, what I love about grace is this is what separates grace from all other religions. Go ahead, guys, put that Ephesians scripture up. Popular scripture. Here we go with the kaleidoscope again. All right. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So grace is the single most deciding factor that separates every single religion, every single prophet, every single deity from Jesus. Grace is not and cannot be earned. God loves you. You didn't deserve anything. He chose you. He predestined you. This is a day of destiny for some people. I believe some people, this is your day of destiny. You came here today. You weren't even sure you're going to make it, but you come here today. You're going to be filled with the love of God, with the knowledge of God, and you're going to walk out a new creation, a changed life, a new person in Jesus' name. Come on. That's grace. That ain't karma. Let's talk about the favor portion of this. Have you ever applied for a job? Amen. Some people have applied for a job. Okay, so have you ever applied for a job? I just was, you know, meditating on this, and I thought, Lord, just give me some examples that the common man can relate to. Have you ever applied for a job and you thought, man, there's no way I'm going to get this job? And you know this other person that is like super, super overly qualified for this job, right? You go through the interview and everything, and then you get a call and say, hey, you got the job. You're like, wow, thank you, sir, ma'am, whatever. You hang the phone up. And then you think to yourself, what in the world just happened? I'm not qualified to get this job. I mean, I want this job. It is a desire of my heart. I feel like God could use me in this job, but this other person, you keep focused on this other person who's way more qualified than you, who you think is way more deserving than you. That's thinking with karma. Don't think with karma. Think through grace. God wanted you to have that job, maybe. Don't matter how qualified or overly qualified the other person is, it wasn't his job or her job. It was your job because God said so. It's simply put, have you ever been in a pickle, as they say? Have you ever left your house? You're running to work, or you know, you had some sort of engagement, and you're running late. You had to turn around. You forgot your laptop or you know your kid's bottle, whatever. Blah blah blah. You hate that, right? You're driving, and then you pass this terrible accident scene. You know, maybe it's a train or whatever. I don't know. And you're driving, and you think, you know what? That only cost me like 2 minutes. Had I been on time, like I wanted to, I could have been that person in that wreck. You see this car just torn open, and there's ambulance and fire trucks everywhere. That's grace. For whatever reason, God caused things to align for you to not be there at that time. See, God is never early. He's never late. His timing is perfect. When you walk in God's time, you don't have to worry about being late. Now, it doesn't mean you can show up to work or school whenever you want and say, oh, teacher, I'm on God's time, bro. It's all good. That's stupid. That karma is going to bite you in the butt. Don't do that. You're going to get kicked out. But you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about just the grand scheme of life. On my 18th birthday, you know, I shared this story a while ago, but, you know, I was just this young thunderbuck, this kid who just thought he knew it all and was cool and, like, he was just smooth and, like, you know, kind of like I am now. So, kidding. My wife isn't here, so I can goof off as much as I possibly can. I thought I had it all. I was just, you know, it was cool. I was living the dream. You know, my cousin got this crotch rocket, and they're fun, but they're really dangerous. They can be dangerous if you don't know how to use it. Okay, I'm not against crotch rockets. If you have one, go for it. I hate them because I wiped off of one, and so I just have this, like, you know, when you get hurt in your past and you come into a situation where it reminds you of your past, you're always like, you know, maybe let's leave that alone. Anyways, I wanted to see, this was my second time on a bike. I was just learning how to ride a motorcycle. I want to see how fast I can go. I was maxing out at 111 miles an hour. Some of y'all are like, man, you suck. I did way more than you. We're praying for you. Please be careful. Wear a helmet. And even that might not save you sometimes, but I was just stupid. I was maxing out 111 miles an hour. I was wearing jeans and a white Hollister t-shirt with that little flamingo or whatever, you know, that the seagull thing on it. I don't know. I haven't seen a Hollister shirt in years, but no helmet, nothing. And guess when I crashed? Not when I was going 111. I crashed when I was going about 20, like two blocks from the house because my clutch got stuck. The bike wasn't even fixed. It was like a repairable bike. We were just dinking around, testing it out. So I fell off when I was going about 20 and not 111. If I fell and I was going 111, I wouldn't be here today, guys. Come on. There's no way I would have survived that. I survived that little 20-mile-an-hour crash, scabbed my whole back up. I had a patch of hair missing from my head. My friends murdered me from it for how many years? But that's grace. God wanted me to be here today sharing this message with you. And by his grace, I'm here doing it. So I thank Jesus for that. The simple fact that, you know, I'm a young guy, I'm married to an amazing wife is grace. I mean, I don't know what I did to trick her and deceive her into marrying me, but she said yes when I got down on my knee and I popped the question, and I love her. I think she loves me. We have two beautiful kids. Our life isn't perfect. Our life doesn't have, you know, just a steady flow of just perfection, and it's all peachy. We have our ups and downs, just like everybody does, but you know what? We live by grace. We choose to live by grace. See, grace isn't fair because favor isn't fair. There's nothing fair about grace. If you think about grace, it's so unfair, right? Think about karma. It's so unfair, right? See, grace almost nullifies karma. Now, we're going to get to consequences and reaping and sowing in a second, but think about it. It's not fair. How could God, you know, use such an imperfect person like me? Have you ever messed up? Have you ever felt unworthy? Have you ever felt like you screwed up way beyond repair? Have you ever felt like everybody hates you? Have you ever felt unwanted? Have you ever felt unloved? Have you ever felt like no one gives you the time of day? See, the difference between grace and karma is the motivation for karma is fairness. It's always about fairness. But the motivation for grace is always love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Can you guys put that scripture up? John 3:16. You know that. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Can you put 17 up, guys? I know this is a new one that I threw in there. But listen to this. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Karma is out to condemn you. Grace is out to set you free. Grace is out to redeem you. Come on. But you say, it's not fair. I've screwed up. I've sinned. Remember what I did last summer. Remember what I did last night. Remember what I did last week. I think that one person from church saw me. And now I don't look at them when I come to church. Been there, done that. Hiding from the pastor, right? Grace allows God to take ordinary, imperfect people to accomplish extraordinary things. Take a look. I have a few well-known examples. Look at Moses, guys. The guy had a speech impediment. He was a stutterer. The guy that led estimated roughly over a million plus Israelites out of Egypt had a stuttering problem. That ain't leadership. That's grace, in case you didn't know. Gideon was afraid. Samson, remember Samson? The dude's a womanizer. He loved women. Noah was a drunk. God still used him. Rahab was a hooker. She was a prostitute. Did God not use her? Okay, I thought of something possibly very offensive to say, and I don't know if I should say it or not. Don't push me, man. Come on. Holy Spirit, give me discernment. Okay. I thought of it. It sounds cool in my mind, but I might get in trouble for it later. I don't know, guys. So she was using people to get used, and God still used her. Amen. The Samaritan woman, remember, at the well, was a divorced hooker. Jesus said she had five husbands. Jacob was a cheater, a.k.a. Jake the Snake. David was a murderer. It was said about him that he was a man after God's heart. He was an adulterer. He saw Bathsheba taking a bath, and he wanted that. And you know the story. She gets pregnant. Bathsheba has a husband in David's army, which is where he should have been, instead of dinking around his, penthouse. He has the guy killed. So he's a murdering adulterer. God still used him. Jonah ran from God. Remember Peter, who was like BFFs to Jesus, like, Jesus, I'm your number one fan, bro. I'm like your number one protection. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. Jesus even told him to his face, he said, you're going to deny me three times tonight before the rooster crows. And he's like, no, I won't bleeping ever do that. And guess what? He did it. How do you think he felt? The disciples, God used them. They fell asleep. Jesus simply asked them to pray with him before he was taken. They fell asleep, couldn't even stay awake. Apostle Paul, one of the craziest stories about grace, consider this, one of the most influential apostles ever, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He became the very thing that he was persecuting and killing as a Pharisee. What do you call that? Is that karma? He had a moment of grace. He had an encounter of grace on the road to Damascus. He met Jesus. See, when grace comes into your life, it don't matter how much of a sinner you are. It doesn't matter what you do or what you've done or what you're planning to do after the service. Grace always wins. Always. If you let it, grace will always win. God loves every single one of us, even the stupid ones. Amen? He does. That's in his nature. Tell your neighbor, say, God loves even someone like you. Tell him that. Tell him with a grain of salt, though. Don't give him a mean look because they might come after you after the service. Now, we need to appease the other side of this. Some of y'all real strict ones in there are probably thinking, man, this dude is all about grace. All about grace, grace, grace. Let's do whatever we want and not pay for it, right? Wrong. Put Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Let's read. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So just because we have grace, or just because we don't live by karma, we live by grace, doesn't mean we can do whatever the heck we want and not worry and fear and live in fear about suffering the consequences for us. Grace doesn't give us a license to sin. It just means that when we do, and if we do, and when we do, we're covered. It doesn't give us a license to do whatever we want. I've met people that have adopted that philosophy, and you would say that their life seems pretty fun and comfortable because they do whatever they want, but it's kind of a messed up way to live life. You can't just do whatever you want. You will suffer the consequences. If you run a red light, everyone knows traffic rules, right? If you run a red light, you might get caught. You might get a ticket, right? Even worse, you might kill somebody. You might cause an accident. Even worse, someone in the car with you might die, your loved one and not you, all because you ran a red light. If you speed, you won't necessarily get a ticket, but you might. Call it karma or whatever. If you drink too much, you might make some very questionable decisions. Amen. See, anything that you do above and beyond what God has apportioned for us to do, living by the flesh, fulfilling the desires of our sinful nature, grace might run out on that. Because remember, that scripture says, don't be fooled. God cannot be mocked. You can't mock God. He isn't stupid. Let's talk about sin for a second, since we're on such a grim subject anyways. But sin always has a price, guys. Sin always has a price. You may not feel it, but it will cost you something. And the thing about sin is, you may not feel the charge of sin, because sin pays, right? You might not feel it instantaneously. It might come back to hurt you later. You might pay the price for sin physically. You might pay it spiritually. Well, you do pay it spiritually, because all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You could pay the price for sin emotionally, mentally. Sinning affects your soul health. That's why we need grace. See, we can't sustain ourselves on karma, because if we live by karma, we die by karma. But if we live by grace, we're saved by grace. That's Eli's quote. I love that quote. Amazing. We were in our pre-service meeting, and he thought of that, and I thought it was the coolest thing. Check that out. If you live by karma, you will be judged by karma. But if you live by grace, you will be saved by grace. That's so cool. Think of sin as a debt, guys. Think of sin as a debt. Only one person can afford your debt. His name is Jesus. And guess what? He's paid it all. He's paid it all. You don't have to pay it. You can't pay it. You can't even afford your own debt. That's how bad we are by the standards of the Word of God. We can't even afford our own debt. But Jesus has paid it all. He paid it all on the cross. And some of us need a bailout more than others. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, I got issues. But I know you do too.
I got issues, but you got them too. So give me all to me and I'll give mine to you.
Ba-da-ba-da-bop. Love that song. That's a song. As let's talk about the difference, or differences, if you will, between karma and grace. We all need grace, because if all we had was karma, we would all be basically condemned to eternal hell. See the difference? You know what separates believers by unbelievers? Unbelievers live by karma. Believers live by grace. For we are saved by grace through faith. That is not of our own works, so that no one can boast. There's a statement that I wrote that pretty much summarizes this whole message. It's not a very long message. We're wrapping up here shortly, so Brooks, get ready to play something emotional. But like, if you get nothing out of this except for this, I want you to get this. Karma says you get what you deserve. Grace says he got what you deserve. Jesus got what you deserve. He got God's wrath. He got God's punishment. He got God's sickness. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was humiliated. Karma says you deserve that. Grace says, I took that. That's the difference between the two. Jesus got what you deserved. So you don't need to be sick. You don't need to be depressed. You don't need to feel lonely. You don't need to feel unwanted. Guys, I want to encourage you this morning. You have what it takes. You need to live your life full of love, full of passion. God has blessed you. He's brought you out of darkness into his glorious light. You don't need to live in fear of karma, always looking back around your shoulder thinking, oh man, is he going to punish me? What did I do? You don't need to always live your life thinking that it's never enough. I'm never going to be enough. I'm such a failure. Jesus died for you. He died on the cross for you so you could have life. And he died, in fact, remember what it says in that verse, not just so you could be saved and have life, but you could be blessed, you could be healthy, Your children could be blessed. Your children's children could be blessed. Your job could be blessed. Your finances could be blessed. Every single aspect in your life is covered by grace because Jesus paid the price for your sin. Grace demolishes karma. Grace abolished karma thousands of years ago on the cross. So you don't need to carry that weight. You don't need to carry that pain around with you. I just want to encourage you guys this morning. Put that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I love this verse. We know this verse. It's familiar. It said, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. How cool is that? That ain't karma. That destroys karma. That's grace. Put the last scripture up, guys, please. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Look, guys, the reality is I don't know what you're going through. I don't even know what I'm going through some days. You know, I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know if you got it all together. I don't know if you got your ducks in a row, as they say. You know what I love about this scripture? You know what I love how it, I love what it names God's throne. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace. It doesn't say God's throne of power. It doesn't say God's throne of fire. It doesn't say God's throne of lightning and flashing and thunder. And it doesn't say God's throne of archangels upon archangels and billions and trillions, gazillions of swords. It doesn't say God's throne of might. It doesn't say God's throne of justice. It says God's throne of grace. How cool is that? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Maybe you're in a time of need this morning. Maybe you've been in a time of need. I got news for you. Today is your day. Today is the day of your deliverance. Today is the day of your healing. Maybe you need healing. God has already done that. He's paid the price for that on the cross thousands of years ago, so you don't need to walk in sickness. Maybe your mind is all screwed up. I pray for mental breakthrough.